So before we get into the episode, a word from our sponsors. I'm talking about Outlander's 14th episode, The Search. Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to the podcast. I'm your host, Betty. So I need to address a couple things on the top here. In my last podcast with Robin on Farmhouse Fixer, I may have made it sound like she's my co-host to all the shows, but she's not going to be able to, she's only going to be able to do Farmhouse Fixer because her day job doesn't allow her to do this with me all the time. So yeah, she's going to be only doing Farmhouse Fixer with me. And another thing I want to bring up is that I listened to another podcast about true crime, and I had made a promise to them that I would mention them on my next episode, and that was supposed to be on Farmhouse Fixer, but I wasn't able to, you know, I was trying to help Robin get past her nerves and all of that, and so it totally slipped my mind to give them a shout out, but I'm going to do it here on this episode. If you do like true crime, go over there and listen to them. Their podcast name is Crime Pie, and the hosts are Sarah and Lee, and they are awesome. So y'all go check them out. I'm going to leave a link to their podcast in the description so y'all can listen to them and find them. So anyway, let's just get into the episode that we're talking about, The Search, for Outlander's 14th episode. The synopsis reads, Claire and Jenny set out to rescue Jamie from his redcoat captors. When Murdaugh joins up, they turn to unorthodox tactics to send word to Jamie. When word finally arrives, the news isn't what anyone had hoped. So this episode, it starts out right where the last episode ended. And Jenny, she's telling Mrs. Crook to do things on the estate. And Claire, she's getting herself ready to go look for Jamie. And Ian, he's sitting on the couch, and he's wondering what the plan is, what Claire's gonna do, and he wants to go with her, but Claire, she's telling him that, you know, he can't go in his condition, and he's, you know, he's missing his leg and all of that. So he tells, Mrs. Crook to gather up all, as many tenants as they can find to help Claire, but Claire says that they can't get anybody involved. They can't let Lollybrook start a war with the Redcoats. Ian at least says, well, at least let me make you a map. And so Claire, you know, she's getting ready to, you know, she gets up on her horse, you know, she's getting ready to leave, and Jenny comes out and she tells Claire that she can't go by herself because Claire doesn't, you know, just because she has a map and all of this doesn't mean that she knows enough of the terrain and how to track soldiers. And Claire, you know, she's protesting because Jenny just had a baby and all of this, but Claire actually agrees that she needs her help. So they both set off, and Jenny is tracking where the soldiers or the other, I can't tell really, because it's either the Redcoats tracks or actually where Jamie and the Watch had, you know, they're following their tracks. And I think that's actually what Jenny has found is the tracks of the Watch. But this scene right here is one of my favorite scenes because, you know, the camera is panning around, Laura Donnelly as she's, you know, looking at the ground, and the visuals on this scene is one of my favorite Jenny scenes. But anyway, they go a little further, and you know, they find where Jamie and the Watch were captured, and they see a few men that have been killed by the Redcoats, and Jenny, she's praying over the dead. And Claire's voiceover mentions that this, finding these dead bodies reminded her of the war times and stuff. And Jenny, she goes up at the top and she, calls down to Claire that she sees tracks for a wagon, and says that they've headed, I don't remember which direction, but anyway, she knows which way to go and everything, and hopefully they hadn't gotten far. And Claire says she hopes not, because there's a really heavy red-headed Scot weighing down the wagon. And anyway, they set off again, and they go down a ways, and Jenny needs to stop because she feels like she's fixing to burst. And of course, you know, Claire thinks she's talking about needing to use the restroom, but Jenny really needs to relieve her breasts of milk, and Claire sees her doing this, and she didn't realize that the milk flowed so freely. Jenny says that she can't be away from Maggie for too long, that babies can be a lot of work, but you still would never choose to not have them. And Claire kind of says, no, you wouldn't choose that. And, you know, Jenny gives her a look right here, like she knows that maybe Claire can't have children. But anyway, Claire starts going, talking about her plan once they find Jamie, that she's going to try and talk to Lord Thomas, which is Black Jack Randall's superior. So, you know, they're going to try and avoid Black Jack Randall altogether. And Jenny, you know, she doesn't know about this plan, but Claire says that it's better than no plan at all. So they set off again, and they finally catch up to the British soldiers, and they're looking over, and they notice that just McCreary is in the wagon and not Jamie. And, you know, Claire is wondering, you know, where Jamie could be. And she says, do you think they might have killed him? And Jenny was like, well, why would they? And Claire points out that he's a headstrong Fraser. But they see a guy down there, and he's got a letter that he's getting ready to deliver. And so they decide that they're going to find out where this guy is going. So they go and stop him and capture him. And they start torturing him to find out information, you know, what he knows about Jamie. And he says he doesn't know anything, you know, but Jenny actually gets the thing that, the metal piece that loads the musket ball into the rifle. And she gets it hot, and she pulls his boot off and uses that metal thing to burn his foot to get information. You know, they're torturing him. And Claire is trying to get him to confess what he knows. But he, you know, he says he's just a courier, that he doesn't know anything. And so Claire goes over to his bag and takes the letter out and reads it. And they find out that Jamie has escaped, and that, you know, they should be looking for Jamie. You know, that's what the letter said. So Jenny rips up the letter because, you know, if the British Army doesn't know that Jamie's escaped, they won't go looking for him. So Claire, she starts to go for her medicine to doctor the guy's foot. And Jenny's like, what are you doing? And Claire's like, I'm going to stop the burning and all of this. And Jenny's like, no, we're going to have to kill him. And Claire is like, well, I don't know that. We don't have to kill him. And, but Jenny's like, yes, we do, because he knows too much. And as they're discussing this, Murdaugh comes up and does the job for them. And, you know, also Jenny's upset because she feels like Claire is judging her for having to do what they need to do. But, anyway, Murdaugh, he says that he followed their tracks until he heard the screaming, and he tells them that they should have covered their tracks a little better. He tells them to make camp while he goes and, hunts for their supper. So they go out, and they're collecting firewood and all of this, and Jenny walks up to Claire, and she tells her that, you know, love makes you do things that you never dreamed that you could do. And Claire says, well, she wasn't really judging Jenny. She said that she knows that if Myrtle hadn't showed up when he did, she had to do it herself. So it goes to the next scene, and they're building a campfire, and, you know, Claire has this really clever thing to do with the logs. You know, every time one burns out, the next one drops down and takes its place so that the fire will keep burning through the night. And Jenny, she's really impressed with this, for a woman from Oxfordshire knows how to do all this. And Claire, you know, she talks about how when she was younger, her Uncle Lamb would take her camping and stuff and learn how to live off the land. And Claire asks Jenny how she learned to track the way she did. And she said Jamie and Ian taught her. And Claire says that wouldn't they, you know, not want you to tag along? And Jenny points out that, yeah, but if they wouldn't take me, then I would end up bedeviling their suppers and, you know, put insects in their food. So, you know, they had to, you know, help Jenny. They had to teach Jenny how to track. So that's how she learned how to do all that. And as they're talking, Murdoch comes up with their supper, and, you know, it's a dead pheasant or something, and he wants the women to feather it and everything like that. He tries to hand it to both women. They won't take it. So I guess Murdoch got stuck doing that part. And of course, Jenny, you know, she points out that probably Ian is the one that sent for Murdoch. But it goes to the next morning, and they're, you know, packing up camp and everything, and Jenny's getting ready to leave them because she's got to get back to her baby. Now that Murdoch is there, she, you know, she doesn't need to be there. And she gives Claire the rents from the tenants, and Claire doesn't want to take it, but, you know, Jenny insists she take it. So Jenny gives Claire one of Ian's knives and tells her to keep it on her at all times. Even when she sleeps, and she's getting ready to leave, and Claire, you know, she feels like she needs to tell Jenny about what's going to happen in the future with the Battle of Culloden and stuff, and she tells Jenny to plant potatoes because there's going to be a war and a bad famine is going to follow. And, you know, she tells her to do a whole bunch of other things to prepare. And Jenny says that Jamie had told her that Claire would probably tell her to do some things like this. And she didn't know what it meant at the time, but, that Jenny was supposed to listen to Claire if Claire ever told her anything like this. So Jenny trusts Claire, and she's going to do what she asks. I want to take a second right here, and this is going to get on to the future of this TV show, but, you know, we know Claire is a time traveler, and she left in the second season, at the end of the second season, and then she comes back, and Jenny is upset with Claire when she comes back because she feels like Claire abandoned her and stuff. And for story-wise, I don't understand why Jamie and Claire chose not to tell Jenny that Claire's from the future, because it feels like Jenny right here may have accepted Claire, you know, being from the future, but then at the same time, you know, she may not have. I can't really remember exactly how the book Jenny is portrayed. It's been a while since I've read those books, but the show kind of makes it seem like Jenny would have been okay with hearing that Claire was from the future, but they still, you know, Jenny is mad at Claire at, you know, in that those future episodes, and they still choose not to tell her. Now, keep in mind, I have only read up to the sixth book, so I don't know what happens in future books, but I feel like they should have told Jenny that Claire was from the future, and I feel like the way the show is portraying it, that Jenny would have been okay with it, but anyway, we're not talking about the future, but right here in this moment, you know, Jenny accepts Claire's story. So, you know, I feel like she should probably accept Claire. They formed a bond, especially in this episode. And I feel like Jenny probably would have accepted Claire, in the show anyway, more than what Jamie and Claire thought she would. But anyway, let's get back to this episode. So Jenny leaves them, and Claire, you know, she's asking Murdo which way are they headed, and he says that they're going to go north and west, and Claire asks if there's a specific place that Jamie would go, and Murdo says that he doesn't know, but he's brought the rest of Claire's medicines. And, you know, Claire's wondering, well, how are we going to catch up to him and find him? And Murdo says, we're not going to find him. He's going to find us. And he tells Claire that she needs to build a reputation as a healer in this part of the world so that Jamie could find them. So as they're traveling down the road, they're stopping in every village so that Claire can do her healing thing. And, you know, Murdo, he's gathering up everybody that has an injury, and she helps everybody. And at nighttime, they go to the local taverns, and Claire, she'll read palms while Murdo gets up on the stage and does the sword dancing and stuff to try to draw attention to themselves. And Claire, you know, as she's reading this one woman's palm, she's questioning her in her own way about Jamie, about where if this woman has seen Jamie. So she's using that, the palm reading, to question the women about if they've seen a good-looking red-headed Scott, you know, because she tells them that, you know, he'll strangers will come into their life and, you know, all of this. So anyway, but Murdo up on the stage, he's not being accepted as well as Claire is because he's not really that good at the sword dancing. But the next day, he's still trying to do it, and he's getting booed, of course. And Claire tells him that what he needs is to, you know, play a song or sing a song while he's doing it to liven up the dance a little bit. And she starts singing the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy from Company B. And Murdo's like, that's a good song and everything, but you need a Scottish song to do it to. And a new look. So he has this plan to have Claire get up on the stage and sing that song, or sing a Scottish song to that tune, dressed as a man. And hopefully this will draw more attention to them. So Claire's up there on the stage and she's singing the song, and it goes through a whole montage of her singing it in various places, and there's this guy there that is noticing them, and they notice that Murdo, he's gathering the money that they're collecting from her performance, and as Murdo is collecting the money, he's questioning people if they've seen a red-headed strapping young Scottish guy. And but the guy that's watching, you know, Claire and Murdo, he has a plan up his sleeve that he actually steals their performance and, you know, makes it his own. And so now, he's caused a problem because what Murdo and Claire are trying to do is draw Jamie out, you know, to find them. And so if there's two people performing this, doing this performance, it's going to confuse Jamie. So Claire and Murdo, they approach the guy, and Claire tries to get him to stop singing the song, or, you know, get his people to stop performing the song, but he doesn't want to do it. So she decides to pay him and give her his word that he'll stop using it because she's looking for her husband. She tells him, you know, she's doing it for love. And, you know, he promises he'll stop doing it, but he doesn't. And Murdo knows this, and he tells Claire that she should go back to Lollybrook, and he'll keep following the gypsies and sees if they draw Jamie out. And this was actually a good plan, in my opinion, but Claire, you know, she put her faith and her trust in this guy, and she decides to keep singing the song. And, you know, her being so stubborn too, she gets Murdaugh to agree to let her keep singing the song. So anyway, they continue on and they make camp in a cave on the beach because, you know, they go everywhere to sing this song and they're just about ready to give up. And anyway, they're camping in this cave. And Claire, she's having a hard time sleeping, and Murdaugh's like, you know, good, because, you know, he feels it's her fault that they haven't found Jamie, because, you know, her being so stubborn, insisting on continuing to sing the song and everything. And Claire's like, well, you don't even understand, because you've never lost anybody you've loved. And of course, this upsets Murdaugh, and rightfully so, because she doesn't understand. He gets up and starts telling a story about how he did have someone that he really liked when he was younger during a gathering of the McKenzies. And he went during the boar hunt. He killed a boar with just his knife, and the McKenzie was impressed with this. So he gave him the tusks, and Murdaugh used the tusks to fashion bracelets to give to her. And Claire pulls the tusks out of her bag, and she realizes that Murdaugh was Jamie's mother's secret admirer. And so he tells Claire that, you know, Jamie is like a son to him. So yeah, he loves Jamie just as much as Claire loves him. So, and Claire, of course, she starts crying, and Murdaugh hugs her and holds her while she cries. So it goes to the next morning, and Claire's getting dressed, you know, putting her dress back on. So she asks Murdaugh, what's the plan? And he says that, I guess we'll just go back and start over until, you know, we hear word. And they have to go and water the horses and feed the horses. And she points out that she gave away all the money. But, you know, he says that we'll figure it out somehow. So they ride off, and Claire is doing her thing again with the palm reading and stuff. And as she's sitting there, the gypsy shows back up, and he needs to talk to her because he got a message from the Sassenach, or to the Sassenach, you know, his Sassenach, but it wasn't for her, it was actually for Claire. And he wants to be paid for this information, but Claire's like, I'm not going to give you anything. She's like, you better leave, or my companion Murdaugh will show you out. And so he decides to go ahead and give Claire the information without, you know, any payment. And so Claire thanks him for the information, and her and Murdaugh ride off to go and meet who they think is Jamie at this point. But they're going, and come to find out, it wasn't Jamie, it was Dougal. And I'm going to take a minute right here, because when I was watching this episode for pleasure, you know, to help remind me of what this episode was about, I had totally forgot that Dougal did this. But anyway, he's there, and he's telling Claire about what happened with Jamie, that Jamie was eventually captured because he was drawn out by the song, and turned out wasn't really Claire singing it, was the gypsy singing it, so he got confused, and that's how he got captured, and that he is due to hang in the morning, I think it was. And so anyway, he's telling her that she should just give up on Jamie and marry him, that Jamie would want her to stay safe, you know, and he's offering to keep her safe. And really, this is just a play to get Lollybrook. I mean, that's always been Dougal's motives, to get Lollybrook. Because that's why he told Jamie that Jenny was carrying Black Jack Randall's child, to keep Jamie away from Lollybrook. So, you know, he's trying to make this deal with Claire. And, you know, he's kind of right, but he's not doing it in the right way. You know, if Jamie was to die, this probably would be the only way to keep Claire safe and out of the clutches of Black Jack Randall. But, you know, Jamie's not even dead yet, so he needs to, you know, not do this. He is being very slimy. And, you know, earlier on in the podcast, I was always defending Dougal and asking, you know, because he is a pretty complex character and he is pretty interesting. But I had forgotten that he did all of this. So he's not being a very good person right now. But Claire, she actually does agree to marry him, but only if, you know, if there's no way to save Jamie. She asks him to help her get Jamie out, and if there's no hope to get Jamie out, then she agrees that she'll marry Dougal. And he says that he won't go himself, but he won't stop any of his men that want to go with her. So the next scene we see is her asking Rupert, Angus, and William, and some of the other men if they will help her. And they don't want to. They don't want to help her because they all think it's a lost cause too. But William actually steps up and says that he'll help her because Jamie, you know, he would do the same thing for him. And because of this, it gets Rupert and Angus involved to help too, because, you know, they love William, and they also do love Jamie too, and they realize that they need to help. So the next scene we see is them all riding their horses towards Wentworth Prison. And I love this scene too, because, you know, they're coming for you, Blackjack. But anyway, it goes off like that, and that's the end of the episode. So, yeah, I'm a little nervous about the next two episodes, and I still, even on the eve of, you know, doing these two episodes, I still don't know how I'm going to handle them. But I'm going to have to, you know, get through them. I don't know what else to do. That's one of the reasons why this episode is coming out so late, is because, you know, I've been putting it off and dreading doing the next two episodes of this series. I don't know what to do, guys. There's a part of me that really just wants to skip them, but I can't do that either, because there are some very important stuff that happens in the next two episodes that, you know, I do need to talk about, but I really, really wish I could skip them. But anyways, that's the end of the discussion for this episode. Stay tuned for trivia. Okay, so I have two pieces of trivia. This is the only episode in which Sam Heughan, Jamie Fraser, doesn't appear in the entire first season. And then, number two, the song Claire sings is based on the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company B, which was performed by the Andrews Sisters and was also a popular song during wartime in 1941. So, yeah, despite, you know, Sam Heughan not being in this episode at all, it was still a really great episode. I really enjoyed it, and I love Murdaugh, so, you know, he was great to see. So anyway, that's all the trivia I have. Y'all stay tuned for news. So the news I've got this week, it has been confirmed. You know, I told y'all I would keep y'all up to date about Graham McTavish being a part of the prequel of Game of Thrones, The House of Dragon. He is in the cast. I'm not sure who he's going to play, but it's been confirmed that he's a part of that. And I couldn't find any real concrete on this one, but I'm hearing rumors that Men in Kilts is going to be renewed for a second season. So hopefully that's true. I'll keep y'all up to date on that when I hear more concrete news about that. So anyway, that's all I have for y'all. So on my Facebook group, If you go and like our, it's not a page. You have to join the group to be a member. I have a poll going on. So after I finish Farmhouse Fixer, I'm thinking about either doing Framing Britney Spears documentary, another documentary called Kiss the Ground. It's about the environment and stuff, or, the Friends Reunion. I'm probably going to do all three of those, but I want y'all to vote on the poll what y'all want to hear me do first, you know, or, you know, vote on which ones y'all would want to hear, and then I will choose, you know, the best one, the second best one, and then the third best one, or most voted on. You know, that's how I'll do it. The reason why I want to do Britney Spears' story is because there's a lot in her story that I didn't even realize her story. So I really want to talk about that. And then with the Kiss the Ground documentary, that's, first of all, Ian Somerhalder's in it, and I love him. I'm a big, huge fan of The Vampire Diaries and all of that. But that's not, I mean, the environment, the global warming is a real thing, y'all, and we need to talk about this. And then the Friends Reunion, I grew up with Friends. You know, I was 14 when it first came out, and I was 24 when it went off. And so that was my teenage years. I watched that thing from beginning to end. I watched the whole entire series at least 3 times. I am actually binging it right now for a 4th time because of the reunion. You know, it brought back memories, and I just love Friends, so I want to talk about it. So I am definitely going to do those documentaries, but I want to know which y'all would like to hear me do first, you know, what order y'all would want me to do them in. So anyway, so go over to my Facebook page or Facebook group and vote on that. And I guess that's going to do it. I'm going to leave the link in the description, you know, my link tree. Y'all can find all my social medias. If y'all aren't on Facebook, then don't worry about going to my Facebook group. Just, you know, try to get a hold of me on Instagram or Twitter. Or I even have an email. I don't think it's in the link tree, but if you are listening to this on Anchor, there is a link to my email address on Anchor, I believe. So anyway, that's going to do it for tonight. Y'all keep having fun. If y'all have listened all the way to this part and I don't have any bloopers, I'm so sorry. Thanks for listening, though.